You can turn to Isaiah 53. Leading up to Easter, I think I actually saw this originally whenever there's nothing that I want to do at night. I like to watch certain channels, and one of them's like a crime channel. And I remember them talking about people that were wrongly convicted. I don't know what the percentage is. There's actually, you know, a group of lawyers, the Innocence Project. And this guy wasn't on there, but I went and investigated a little bit. Ricky Jackson, he was actually from Cleveland. And now over 40 years ago, he was wrongly convicted of a crime. He and two other men were accused of shooting and killing a man. And the testimony really was mainly based on what was claimed to be an eyewitness of a 10-year-old boy who identified Ricky Jackson as the man who walked up to this vendor and shot him to death. And Ricky Jackson and his two accomplices, you could say, all claimed that they were innocent and didn't even know the man, weren't, you know, they had alibis and so on. But based on the testimony of this young witness, they were sentenced to life imprisonment. And so he went to prison, and he's the, as far as we know, the longest person. He spent the most years in prison for really being innocent. Later, 39 years later, they proved that this man was actually innocent of this, but he spent 39 years in federal penitentiary in Ohio. And when I was thinking about that, I think that each of us, you know, what does it feel like, you know, to be wrongly accused? What does it feel like? You know, we haven't maybe been sent to prison, but all of us have been wrongly accused. You know, whether you're accused of being mean or you're accused of saying something, accused of stealing. I've been accused of stealing a couple different times. Ridiculous. Accused, you know, however you're accused, you know, accused that you've done this, that, or the other, that you've abused someone somehow. And it's just wrong, and there's nothing really you can do about it. And so, you know, how do you deal with that, and how does that feel? And I was thinking, we probably can be encouraged this morning, because as we go towards Easter, certainly there's one that was accused who was more innocent than you or I have ever been. And so I thought we'd just quickly, it's familiar, we quickly look at someone who paid the penalty and didn't deserve really to go through what he went through, but yet was willing to go through. We talked the last 2 weeks about how Jesus, I love the first verse of chapter 13 of John, that Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, would now basically love them till the end. You know, just the fact that Jesus, knowing in a real way the hearts and the motivations, you know, the very hearts of his disciples, and even beyond that, while we were yet sinners, Paul says, God sent his Son to die for us. While we were yet sinners, knowing that we hated him, knowing that we were enemies of God, Yet he was still willing to send his one and only begotten Son, Jesus, being willing to be obedient to the will of his Father, even to the point, Paul says in Philippians 2, of death. I think, wow, that's just an amazing thing. You know, to have that kind of a heart. We did communion Thursday at the Rouse, and I the thought I had again was along these lines, that Jesus sat last night, in which he was betrayed, sat with his disciples, had dinner with his disciples, loved them, didn't accuse them, didn't bring up anything really in any way, shape, or form that was a criticism or a negative, but just poured out his life into them, knowing that the one sitting right beside him actually was going to betray him, and in fact, all those that were there, in a sense, were going to betray him. They were all going to leave, and none of them would stand with him. I think, what an amazing thing. You know, that here Jesus would love them, and then, again, carry through and lay down his life for them. And so, when we think of, and I think of, you know, maybe personally, how maybe I have allowed my life to literally maybe even be in bondage because I don't forgive, because I don't pray, because I don't have this heart like Jesus had, that I would be willing to love and love even my enemy. And how that can so, again, oppress my life and put me in a place that's just not a good place to be. And so let's look at, and these again are very familiar, let's look at what Jesus went through. Have we gone through it? Not to the extent that Jesus went through it. Jesus certainly understands. And maybe it will be an encouragement to us that, you know what? The reality of life is we're going to face these things. And can we love, can we trust the Father through these types of things? So Isaiah begins, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him." And so right away, I didn't even put this in the outline, but again, there's no desire for him. And we think, oh, you know, I just really, you know, have a desire to, you know, to see the Lord. We wouldn't be attracted to him. He wasn't this chiseled, I think it was really strong. I think he was a rough man. I don't, these, whatever period it would be, you know, where you see pictures of Jesus and they're actually like feminine. How sad that is. Probably we shouldn't have any pictures of Jesus, you know, literal pictures of him. You know, I don't think we should because they're all false. Someday we'll see him. I think we're going to be amazed. I think he was a rugged man. I think that he was a man of endurance, a man that was very strong, and yet he wasn't attractive. You wouldn't look at him and look at that handsome hunk. But rather, he was despised. John chapter 1, I think of these things because we're in John, and I spent a lot of time there. He came to his own, and his own refused him. His own rejected him. But mankind despised him. And I think when I looked up that word, I put it in the outline. When we think of the weight of this, it wasn't just like, well, you know, I don't care for that person. It was more than that. Maybe even in our political climate, there's a real despising of certain individuals. Certainly, I think there's a despising of our president, right or wrong. We feel contempt, and I like this, a deep repugnance. That says something. We detest that person. Bottom line, we hate that person. We loathe. There's another word. Brings the weight or the gravity. Jesus was loathed. He was detested. He was hated. Someone asked a question last Wednesday, and I hope we answered it, but we were going through, and Jesus is walking the earth, and he's in what we would call his Galilean ministry. And when he's ministering, I mean, there's some amazing things that are occurring. People are being healed. People are being delivered. I mean, this is miraculous stuff. We haven't got to the place where the dead are raised to life, but we've seen some pretty awesome miracles where from a small amount of bread and fish, there's a multiplication, a miraculous multiplication that takes place where that maybe 15, 20,000 people are fed with fish and bread left over. Nature is calmed. The sea is quieted. Jesus doesn't have to be in a triathlon to walk or run so many miles and then swim so many miles to get to the disciples. He walks on top of the water to his disciples. That's miraculous. I've never seen that. You've never seen that. And so the question was, we know that the multitudes were following him. Thousands of, we know, 15, 20, maybe 30,000 people. They were trying to follow him wherever he was going. John says that they are following him because they were seeing the signs and the miracles that he was doing. Right or wrong, that's why they were following him. It's quite an attraction. Not only were just normal people following him, but priests and Pharisees were following him and checking him out and you know, really trying to evaluate what was going on. And so the question was, here's a man. Can you imagine this? Here's a man that, in essence, walks into a funeral home or interrupts a funeral and raises the person that's dead to life. Why would the Jews reject that? They're waiting for the Messiah, right? They're waiting for the Savior. They're waiting for the Deliverer. Now, we know today that they were seeing these things. Why would they reject him then? It's an amazing thing. Why is Jesus rejected today? He was despised. He is despised. He's hated. And we talked about different reasons why he might have been rejected back then. Could it be that these Pharisees and these scribes, these priests, the Jews, he came to his own and his own received him not? Why? I don't know if John actually gives the answer, but when you go through those first six chapters, there's definitely a revealing of the state of the religiosity of the Jews. They were very religious, but there was no relationship. They were very locked into their traditions and their forms and their rituals, but there was no relationship. Did Jesus fit into their religious system? No. That was their life. That was, I think that had a lot to do with it. I think he just didn't fit in. Was he radical. Certainly he didn't fit into what they believed a deliverer and a Messiah should be. I think more than that, they were so distanced from God. There was no reality in their relationship. No intimacy. Is there intimacy in my life this morning? When I go through my week, does Jesus speak to me? Do I hear from him? Is he really leading my life? Is there ever, throughout my week, a time when I stop and I say, why in the world am I thinking this way? Jesus, are you really pleased with what I'm doing? Is there ever a tinge of conviction in my life that, you know, man, I might need to repent of this? Or am I just so okay? There's none, and I just know in my own life, when that kind of thing starts to happen, I'm out of relationship with them. It's just as simple as that. I'm out of relationship. I might be doing ministry. I thought this week, last Sunday night actually, I thought about it because we were in a prayer meeting, and one of the prayers was, I think we should take time. And it should be a time of confession and a time of repentance. And I thought, Lord, the first thing that popped into my mind was, Lord, how many times have I done the ministry without truly being a minister? And the thought was, how many times has that been my life? Has that been like I could be checking the boxes? Boy, look how much I'm doing for you, Lord. But I'm not really doing a lot for him. I'm just doing it for me. I'm just, you know, and that's making me content in my place here. You know, it's not about how often I go to church. It's not about how good I think I am. It's not about the checklist. It's about, am I in an intimate relationship with him? Am I really trusting in him? Do I believe in him? And so they despised him. As he came into the world, he was the most perfect person who never did anything wrong. He never sinned. He was hated. He was despised. To me, that seems impossible that would happen. But yet it did happen. So he was despised. He was rejected. Jesus was rejected. We finished John 6 Wednesday, and that was a big thing. He started talking about to the disciples more than the 12. We know that he sent out 70, right? So there are more than 12 disciples. He sent out 70. They came back. They went out and ministered. We know Judas was part of that group. He experienced some, I think, amazing things, quote, in ministry. But he started talking about the cross. He talked about suffering. He talked about dying. And then he talked about the resurrection. He even mentions the ascension. Ultimately, John says that these were very hard sayings. These were hard sayings. They were so hard that John says, after, at this place in ministry, all his disciples left him. The reason was his sayings were hard. When we talk about the cross, that is a hard thing. We don't talk a lot about it today, but Jesus said that the cross should be a part of my life every day. Really? To apply the cross is a place of judgment. It's a place of death. You know, am I willing to, again, allow that kind of thing into my life? Lord, man, I thank you for showing me that. Forgive me. You know what? I'm going to die to that. I've been going this way. I'm going to die to that. I admit I'm not doing your will. I want to do your will, Lord. Forgive me. Hard sayings cause most to reject him. And then he turns to those that were left. 12 disciples were left. He says, are you going to leave me too? Are you offended by what I'm telling you, by what I'm saying? Do I get offended by, boy, there are a lot of people that are offended. That can't be. God is a God of love. That can't be. That can't be that's a sin. Our society is so advanced and we're so much smarter and more intelligent than God. That's not a sin. And in essence, that's what we're telling God. We're smarter than him. And really that part of the Bible is kind of just outdated and it's whatever you want to call it. They were offended. They rejected him. That was his life. Have you walked through a life of rejection? Jesus knows. Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be despised. I always appreciated the counsel that Chuck Smith always would share. It's good counsel. You know, you and I do not have to respond. Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and he didn't open his mouth. Boy, I tell you, life is so much better when I know that's out there. You know, that family member, that family member, that quote friend, they can be saying all this stuff, and it gets back to you, you know. You don't have to respond to it. You can trust Jesus. You can pray for that person and love that person because that's what Jesus did. What an example he is to us, right? How do I live when I'm going through these things? He trusted his Father and was obedient to the will of his Father. And he loved even those who were rejecting him and despising him. He loved us. So he was despised and rejected by men. Lord, why am I going through this? Why do I have to experience this heartbreak, this tragedy? He was a man of sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. I don't want to do that. I don't want to, you know, you're going through something because God's getting you and you deserve it, kind of thing. No, he was wounded for us. He was going through it for us. And I was just thinking of those words again. He was despised. He was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. He was wounded. We don't like to be wounded. Yet Jesus was wounded. He didn't deserve to be wounded. And again, and just consider, there's been times I've deserved to be wounded. I've deserved to be told off. I've deserved to be corrected. But, you know, there's times I don't feel I deserve it at all. And how do you respond? Am I willing to be wounded for someone else's transgression? Maybe that transgression is even being put on, maybe it's me that's the transgression has been, you know, whammed on me. Do I understand? You know, this is reality. This is life. But Jesus was wounded for us, for our wrongs. He was bruised. You know, transgressions, iniquities, sins. You know, it kind of covers it all, right? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Wow. Jesus was betrayed. We know the story. We talked about it last week, Judas Iscariot. In a sense, all the disciples betrayed him. You know, you may have been betrayed. You may be being betrayed right now. Jesus was left alone. Have you ever felt alone? I'm going through this and I'm alone. Jesus knows what that's like. Jesus was truly alone in a way that I don't think I'll ever experience. Right? What do you think was the most horrible thing that Jesus? Was the nails going into his wrists the most horrible thing? The thorns being crushed onto his head the most horrible thing? The fist, maybe the whip on his back and on his chest? How about the spike going through his ankles? Was that the most horrible thing? I don't know what you think, but I don't think those were the most horrible things. The most horrible thing for Jesus to endure was being alone for the first time ever in his life. Being forsaken by his heavenly Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? We probably haven't said that, but my God, why am I forsaken? Why am I, again, rejected? Why am I abused? Why am I ostracized? Why am I alone?
He was holy and our sin was put on him. Not only loneliness, but our sin was put on him.
Yeah. The weight. Not just the weight. What is that? Who knows? I have no way. The weight of the sin of mankind was put on him. The iniquity, he says, of us all was laid upon him. Wow. You know what? There's not very many times that I will bear the iniquity of anyone, right? I mean, let's be honest. I'm not going to bear it. I'm not going to bear that. I'm going to reject you. I'm going to reject you. I'm going to call you out. I'm going to try and push you down so that I can be brought up. I'm going to get you back. I'm being honest. That's where my mind and heart immediately goes. You hit me, I'm going to hit you harder. You get me, I'm going to get you worse. I will get you back. That's the flesh. That's the heart of man. The iniquity of us all was laid upon him. And he carried it, didn't he? He allowed it. He accepted it. And that's just convicting to me, because, and we think, oh, that Jesus did that, but I think there's a lesson in that for us. Again, are we willing? I'm just being, I don't know how many times I've been told it. I didn't even know, really, honestly, I didn't even know, but I've been told it probably at least 10 times that I have, the phrase every one of them has used, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And the other one is, I have wounded the person's heart beyond repair. Forgive me. Well, that's not really possible, because it's the last straw, you see. It's it's wounding of the heart. So it's like, you're in a place that's irredeemable, and I never want to do that. But do we do it? I mean, let's be honest. When we talk about this, you know, the iniquity of us all is laid on him. And there's I don't want to allow anything to be laid on me, right? Are we willing to bear the iniquity of someone else? Again, to pray for them, to forgive them, to love them. And maybe someday to have a relationship restored. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be a wonderful testimony to the power of God and Jesus Christ? And when I think of that, I think maybe of a marriage or something like that. But you know what? In reality, it's probably even like less than that. You know, it might be a neighbor. You know, it might be a coworker, or it might be that brother or sister in that church or in that fellowship. And to me, that should be happening so much. But I'll just leave that to you. When is Christianity really? When does it really shine? When do these things really play out in reality, in church life? Should. And I think we can learn from Jesus that he was willing that the iniquity, it was laid on him. I just put, you know, that he bore our grief, again, bearing. Right? He carried our sorrows. He was wounded for us. He was bruised for us. He received stripes for us. The power of the love of Jesus. the willingness and the heart of Jesus. When we think of the cross, I think it's good. Good Friday. I don't know what that service is going to be with the Alliance guy. He's kind of got something, so we'll get together and see what that is. But it's thinking, you know, and remembering, right? The cross. Good Friday. Jesus being nailed to that cross. And you think, again, of the suffering and all that he went through. But there are some real practice. That's what I was seeing in this. Thank Jesus that he was willing to go to the cross and all that he went through. Yes, in going to the cross, being placed in the tomb, being raised from the tomb. As we trust in him and we believe in him, we have eternal life. We're probably never going to be nailed to a cross. But in what he did, how can that maybe be an encouragement in my life? Well, I think of these words again. He bore, he carried, he was, it was laid, he endured. What? For us. And very simply, is that something I could take away maybe this Easter? Maybe think of how can I practically carry, bear, pray, forgive, encourage, stand with, stand by the people that God's going to bring into my life. Maybe someone that has already been in my life. And it's just not a good thing right now. Has that relationship been broke? Has something occurred that you're a part of, you're not a part of, whatever? How can Jesus' example be an encouragement to me and how I'm going to respond and react? Really, I like the word respond. Respond to this situation.